Violinist Rachel Barton Pine has released a new album entitled Bel Canto Paganini. Paganini was highly influential when it comes to the development of violin technique. In this new recording, Rachel explores some of his most popular works, including the 24 Caprices, Opus 1.
I was introduced to the 24 Caprices when I was 6 years old and my mom bought an LP recording of Itzhak Perlman, and it was my bedtime bribe. But I was a little girl and didn't want to go to sleep. She'd say, if you'll just be good and lie down and close your eyes, I'll put on your Paganini record. And so I would lie there in the dark and listen to each caprice and just dream about being able to play them myself one day. And I started learning them when I was 10. With the 24th Caprice, I jumped in the deep end. That was the first one my teachers assigned to me, which was super exciting. And, you know, then by the time I was in my early 20s, I'd long since learned them all. And I knew that very few violinists in history, including Ruggiero Ricci and Gidon Kremer, had performed all 24 in a single concert. And I was curious whether I might be capable of doing that myself. So I, worked them up and, it was kind of like training for the marathon. And I indeed was able to do that. And then that's when I kind of came to a new relationship with them, because then once I'd proved that I could do that, it was no longer about the technique. And it was like, well, what's the point at this juncture? So just sharing the cycle with audiences in one fell swoop, when you can take them on this journey through all of the possibilities of what the violin's voice can do, is absolutely incredible. And then, my journey evolved further when I started using the type of bow that Paganini used, which is an early modern bow. It doesn't have the heft and weight of the normal type of stick that we use these days. It's a little bit lighter and springier, and it made so many of the bowings that he indicates in his manuscript make more sense and gave them the tone, that real clarity and facile kind of quality that you associate with the bel canto singing. 200 years later, these pieces are still hard. When you think about the evolution of sports, you look at footage of Olympic gymnastics from the 1960s, and it looks so much easier than Olympic gymnastics of today. Definitely things have continued to expand in how people play the violin, and certainly pedagogical techniques have improved over the generations, and people are playing hard things younger and younger. But nonetheless, the Paganini Caprices still kind of set the standard for if you've reached that level of accomplishment, and there's still a challenge that each of us aspires to. He must have just had an imagination he stood on the shoulders of guys like Locatelli, who had preceded him and had come close, but he definitely went farther than anybody had ever gone before. And, he must have practiced really hard, but also just been incredibly creative. And, then, of course, with all of his amazing pyrotechnical tricks, he ended up being something of a rock star of his time. And he had that bad boy reputation with gambling and seductions. And, he dressed all in black and had long hair and a wild stage presence. But he also was known as a wonderful composer of melody, which is something that we often forget these days. It wasn't all flamboyance, crash and burn kind of playing. Rossini, one of the great Italian opera composers of the day, said if Paganini were to write opera, he would put the rest of us out of business. And that's how highly those guys regarded him as a composer of melody. And the lyrical side of his playing is definitely akin to the vocal tradition of the time, with not only Rossini, but, Donizetti and Bellini and Verdi. And Paganini kind of took that flavor and transferred it to the violin. And some of the caprices are truly arias for the instrument. Each of the caprices has different technical challenges and all of these amazing pyrotechnical tricks, but yet having something that's virtuosic and flashy and bombastic, one after the next, they could all start to sound the same, and that could get a little boring, really. So I started to, dig deeper and think, well, what is each one saying? And, really focus on the melodies, and that so many of the techniques, in fact, are used towards creating tone colors and expressions on the violin. And they're not ends in and of themselves, but they're really just the jumping off point for what you might do with the notes. And so I found that there was just so much music in Paganini's caprices. And I think it's really revealing that he dedicates the cycle to all the artists, because first of all, he's indicating that it, you know, it's not just one of his kind of compositions that he wrote for himself to perform and show off and have popular appeal, but he was really doing this more as a gift to the world of music and wanting to share it with everybody and wanting to be more adventurous compositionally, which you can definitely hear in the very interesting harmonies and chord changes that he uses throughout the cycle.
Rachel tells us a bit about the Bel Canto era, which became the title of this new album.
Well, it means beautiful singing, and you know, you might not have identified it as a specific style, but if you listen to the music of Rossini, Verdi, Bellini, Donizetti, you'll definitely hear that sound that you recognize. That's exactly what Paganini did with the violin. That was the time and place that his music was part of. And I actually coached these pieces with an Italian opera coach to make sure that I had the timing right for that particular style. And it really brought the music to life in a special way.
Since she took all of the repeats in the 24 Caprices, the music was longer than what would fit on a single CD. With the possibility of a double album, she decided to add what she calls bonus tracks.
Paganini wrote just a few other things for violin alone. His most famous is the variations on the popular aria Nel cor più non mi sento, and it's almost like a condensed version of the 24 Caprices. He does almost every technique possible on the violin, even a couple that he doesn't use in the 24 Caprices, in that set of variations. The duet, for one, is probably the hardest thing I've ever encountered of Paganini's. It's short and sweet, but it is such a finger twister. It's unbelievable. It's like patting your head and rubbing your stomach times 100. Basically, it's written to be in two voices all the way through, with the bowed voice being the melody, imitating a violin, and then the plucked voice providing a guitar-like accompaniment. So your left-hand fingers, the fingering hand, you've got one pitch, you know, with one finger of the bowed note, one pitch of the plucked note, and then a third finger doing the plucking at any given time. And so the coordination of that is just extraordinarily challenging, but totally worth it because it's a really cool piece.
At the end of the album, Rachel includes her very own work, Variations on God Defend New Zealand.
This is something that I wrote sort of in homage to or inspired by Paganini and, you know, guys like Ernst and Vuitton, who came slightly after. When I was in New Zealand in 2000, I really wanted to perform a special encore for my last stop on the tour. And New Zealand hadn't existed as a country when Paganini and those guys were coming up with their own themes and variations, virtuoso pieces. Paganini had actually written a set of variations on God Save the Queen, so that was kind of what gave me the idea to do something on the New Zealand national anthem, which is a lovely melody. And so everything I do is really stolen or borrowed from what those virtuoso guys did in the 19th century, except for the pizzicato variation. Unlike Paganini, where he bows the melody and plucks the accompaniment, I actually have both the pizzicato and the bowed voice doing the melody, but in canon. And I'd never seen that done before, so that was pretty cool.